When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
For the ball game, fourth and goal. Prescott in the gun, snap is back. He has some time. He throws it in the end zone. It's a touchdown to Jalen Tolbert on the left side of the end zone, crossing in front of Deshaun Elliott. With 20 seconds to play. Goodness gracious me.
Can you get any more dramatic? Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Literally fourth and goal, 100 timeouts just to set up the drama to maximum capacity, Perloff.
Oh, some fumbles. You had the whole work. But that's your average NFL game. Basically, ignore the first 59 minutes and 30 seconds and tune in. Like they used to say about the NBA, it is crazy the close games on Sunday. I thought we were done with the drama, Maggie. I thought we were done. We went in the night, got a little Cowboys Steelers, and deep into the night, they just played and played and played.
And they did. So the game was delayed about an hour and a half because of really bad thunderstorms, terrible rain in Pittsburgh. But we were delighted to really kind of a disjointed game, I would say, at first, but it obviously delivered at the very end. And two big takeaways for me from this game. First, from the Cowboys side. This is where you feel lucky to have Dak Prescott. Just admit it, Cowboys fans. You hate the guy. You malign the guy. You didn't want him re-signing. You want to see what life is like without Dak Prescott. Bet you were happy you had him last night. Because there were quarterbacks all over the NFL who could not make that throw yesterday. There were a lot of guys who came up really short in that moment. And I know he threw at interceptions earlier in the game. I get it. But you want to have someone competent at the end of the game. Dak Prescott delivered. You can't ask for anything more.
Yeah, I don't know if Cowboys fans feel that way.
They should.
I love Dak, but I got to tell you, like, I don't think a regular season win is going to change the narrative on Dak for Cowboys fans. I feel like they're like, okay, this is good. Let's see January. And I'm sorry. Like, this is great. This was totally nerves of steel by Dak Prescott, but Maggie, you know Cowboys fans. Do you think this kind of win moves the needle on Dak? See, I don't think it does. He's the longest tenured starter. We've seen him do this 100 times.
Yes, but again, need to have it on the road. You're missing some key pieces. You keep missing more. You keep losing guys as the game is going on. You're going up against, most likely by most metrics, the number one defense in the league. And what more can you ask for your quarterback? You're trailing by four. You need a touchdown. He marches you down the field and you win the game and you get out of there. I mean, that's it. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in January, but I liked what I saw from him in October.
Doesn't that feel like same old Dak? The sentence you just said, I don't know what's going to happen in January, but I like what I see in October. I don't think that's enough for Cowboys fans. This is more like a sigh of relief win than a let's go win.
Okay, but here's the thing. I watched the San Francisco 49ers lose on Sunday. We'll get to that.
Their kicker blew out his knee and Christian McCaffrey's hurt. That has nothing to do with the quarterback.
Well, their red zone is totally messed up. And so if McCaffrey, is he coming back?
Their red zone's only messed up because their kicker was in surgery.
Okay, well, we'll find out what happens moving forward. You have does anyone really think the Falcons and Tampa Bay are like, and we'll see the Saints tonight. Are they world beaters? Minnesota Vikings go to 5-0, and you got Detroit there and Green Bay. Green Bay wins yesterday, obviously. The Vikings win yesterday. The Bears win yesterday. So maybe you got to deal with the North. the NFC East, like, this is what I'm setting up for you, is that the Cowboys should be contenders in the NFC. I'm looking at the top of some of these divisions, and I don't know how overly scared I am. Are you really? Fantastic win by the Vikings yesterday. You go to London, Aaron Rodgers was all confused, throwing bad passes, throwing interceptions. But there's an opportunity here for Dallas in the NFC. Like, they could be one of the top echelon teams in the NFC.
Have you been in a coma for the last 10 years? No. What are you talking about? Wait, don't you know what happens to the Cowboys?
Perloff,
they've been way better shape than they are this year. This year, they are thin. And they're going into an NFC with a loaded Lions team, a loaded Packers team, and who knows about San Francisco. You're right. They might be off. But generally, like, I don't feel like there's more of an opportunity than usual for the Cowboys.
Well, I'm just saying, let those teams in the NFC North beat up on each other. I think a lot of people thought, and I didn't even pick the Cowboys to make the playoffs. I'm saying it's not as dire as it may have seemed. And I'm not just going to fast forward and say, all right, what happens in January? Or else we should just not even talk about the Cowboys. We should talk about any of the contenders if we're not going to go with the ebbs and flows of the season and understand the checkpoints and the meaningful games. And going on the road in Pittsburgh, when you have the weather situation that throws everything off and you have a great defense that probably should have stopped you at the end of the game and you overcome it anyway, I'm going to give them some credit for that.
Okay. I'd like to hear from Cowboys fans, because you could give them credit as a broadcaster, but if you were a Cowboys fan, wouldn't you just say, okay, we did this, but you still have in the back of your mind that the team is collapsed, and it still feels like a similar team in the sense that they're not fully rounded. Their run game is actually showed up a little bit last night. And you mentioned earlier, like, it does feel like they're getting a little thin, like injuries are playing havoc with them. The other thing too is the Commanders are sitting there.
Well,
like,
I know.
That's the,
but
you know.
Is there a,
well, that's,
you're that, still putting all your eggs into a rookie quarterback basket, and Jaden Daniels looks unstoppable.
Right. I'm just saying, it feels like the season, this was a nice win last night, but you talk about major checkpoints. I feel like those two teams are on a collision course to win this division. So I just feel like I'm not going there with you where I'm going to read the game last night and say this is a turning point for the Cowboys.
Where I started was, this is why you're happy you have Dak Prescott. This is why you're happy you actually do have one of the top half quarterbacks in the league, top third, wherever you want to put him. Is he a top five quarterback? He's not a top five quarterback, but is he good enough to win you that game last night? I think you're happy that he's on your team. And then on the flip side, my other takeaway from this game last night, and we're talking about the Cowboys' escape with a win in Pittsburgh, I don't think Justin Fields has done enough to hang on to this job, guys. And I don't know what Russell Wilson is going to look like. And Fields took some huge hits last night. At one point, I had to leave the game to get looked at for a concussion. And Kyle Allen came in, and boom, they had their biggest gain of the on offense in the one throw down the seam to Freiermuth. And then you saw Fields air it out just a little bit, tiny bit more. But as much as he's been an interesting story, I think he's easy to root for, but I do not think he's done enough.
So are you putting in Wilson next week?
I think I'm putting in Wilson next week.
You know, part of this is the Steelers' design. As Tirico pointed out, they've been in this position, I don't know, every single week of every year.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah.
They want to be right around 17-13 with 3 minutes left. This is by design. This is how they run their offense.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is the coaching staff, too. Like, they want to play conservative, and they want to keep the game close. It is crazy that they go into every halftime with 3 points. I mean, their offense stinks.
Well, I'm a little worried, too. What does it look like if Justin Fields getting some of these dirty yards, the third and one, the third and two, where he just sort of runs into the line of scrimmage? You're obviously not going to have that if you make the switch to Russell Wilson. But I haven't seen enough. You're right. Maybe it's by design. Maybe it's just the function of the offense. You're probably right about that. But can we get a few more explosive plays? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, they made a statement in the offseason by hiring Arthur Smith. They went from the Matt Canada experiment to the Matt Canada 2.0 and Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically, Tomlin wants to be conservative, and it almost got him to 4-1.
Sure.
So, but I feel like, just much like we talked about the future of the Cowboys, and maybe they're setting up for another January letdown, feels like the Steelers could be the same team again. And I don't mean to say that nothing changes, but they feel like they could be 9-8, maybe make the wild card, lose that game. Kind of feels like history repeating itself there.
It could be 855-212-4227. The other part about making the switch to Russ, and it's not just because they lost, obviously, because the Steelers are 3-2. They've got a winning record. I could understand if they stay with Fields. But are you guys watching the Ravens? Nothing wrong. And by the way, are you also watching the Bengals? We'll discuss what happened with that crazy game that goes to overtime. Imagine this. You fumble in overtime. Somehow you still win the game. That never happens or rarely happens, but it happened to the Ravens. But all of a sudden you're seeing the Ravens and the Bengals. They've got these great offenses.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're the Ravens and the Bengals.
Ravens and Bengals to me is always defense, defense, defense. Lou Anarumo, yeah. Ravens defense, this vaunted defense, and they were just up and down the field yesterday. So that's another reason if I'm the Steelers, maybe I'm thinking, I got to get this offense. Yeah. We need a new dimension here.
One thing about the Steelers have a way easier schedule than Cincinnati and Baltimore. So Cincinnati's got some easy games now, but then it gets hard at the end. So the Steelers could sneak in if Cincinnati, they kind of needed Cincinnati to win that game yesterday because I think they're going to be fending off the Ravens. But the Ravens are still one of the best teams in the league, one of the top three teams in the league. So, yeah, it's going to be, if the Steelers win, they have to find weird ways to win. They have to do ball control. I mean, they easily could have won last night and gone to 4-1. That's sure. Tomlin's game. And I think that's why we've had Steelers fans who are really frustrated with them. It's like, this is not a championship formula. This is a formula to get to 10-7.
855-212-4227. So that was a thriller last night.
As usual. I mean, every game. It felt like almost all the games came down to about three plays.
Yeah, and who's smart and who's dumb? That's what it came down to yesterday. Who's got a brain in their head and who doesn't have a brain in their head? I think a lot of I was questioning whether coaches got halftime lobotomies or something.
I think you're talking about your coaching
staff. Well, maybe. Maybe I am. I thought, I felt like I saw a few boneheaded. Led by my Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo took the cake. The rest of
yeah, thank you.
I mean, I think
we're number one.
There was definitely one half of a coaching staff in London that didn't know what they were doing.
Robert Saleh might as well just buy a ticket and sit in the front row. What does he even do? Like, that's a Nick Sirianni, what do you do around here question. Yeah, I would say there was a couple different coaching staffs I thought were a little.
I mean, honestly, the Bengals probably should have pushed the ball down the field before that final field goal. Zach Taylor running three straight plays into the line. He got ripped a lot too. But then for all those, there was a New York Giants sort of blocking a field goal. There was just like a fumble and a hit that they would return for 100 yards. It did feel like a chaos Sunday.
It did. Something in the air. I think it was coming off the college football from the day before. You have five ranked teams lose. Obviously, headlined by Alabama.
Yeah.
Being upset by Vanderbilt, and the Diego Pavia era begins. I'm cool to live in the Diego Pavia era. I like this dude.
One of the best names you'll hear in sports right now.
And cool to watch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of, you're right, Perloff. I think the chaos, though, started, you know, baseball playoffs always throw a little bit of weirdness into the, like, and anything can happen. And I think the craziness started on Saturday.
Totally.
And then bled over.
I think it's also the too high safety thing. Like, everybody has to run a lot of plays, and that means more chances for mistakes. There's very few explosive plays, so you're just basically waiting for your team to screw up. I mean, listen, it was Josh Allen versus CJ Stroud, great quarterbacks, right? Like, you knew they were both going to screw up about 10 times. So I think defenses have adjusted and creating this chaotic kind of football. Where it used to be able to have Mahomes quick striking and winning convincingly. That is not a thing anymore in the NFL.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. So this is what we love to do here on Mondays. Love that you're with us to react to an incredible weekend of sports. But we're going to try to get to every game. But if we're not getting to your game and you want to talk about your team, it's cool. Call us, 855-212-4227. You can watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray. EJ was at a wedding this weekend.
I was.
How'd it go?
It was okay. And my knee is still attached, which is good.
Were you able to boogie, like,
not,
dance?
Not really, but what sucks about going to a wedding when everybody is drunk is they just feel like, hey, I know you're hurt, but get on the dance floor. It's like, no, I'm actually seriously injured. Like, no, come on, let's go. So I'm being dragged out, one leg hopping onto the dance floor. So
don't be a Debbie Downer, EJ.
Get out there.
I know, right? Got to rub some dirt on it and get out there like they do back in the 80s playing football. But my leg's still attached, so I guess I'm okay.
This reminds me of before the NFL draft last year. Remember, they were like, listen, Roger Goodell just had back surgery. Can you try not to hug him that hard? And then guys are lifting him up, twirling him around in the air, basically doing an ice dancing routine out there.
That was exactly what my experience was on Saturday. It was like, please stay away from me, people. No, no, let's go. Come on, let's go.
Time to electric slide.
Exactly.
Or whatever. 855-212-4227. Get started, Cowboys fans. Are you appreciating Dak Prescott? Can we get a little Dak Prescott appreciation? And then for the Steeler fans on the other side, is it time to go to Wilson?
Yeah. No, I'd be surprised. If you're a Cowboys fan who appreciates this, it's not like he's a new guy around the block. Like, hey, this Dak Prescott fellow, they've been seeing this for 8 years, Maggie.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. Lots to do. We'll get more into the college football upsets from the weekend. We have the 49ers losing yesterday. We've got my Bills losing yesterday. We've got the Ravens with a big overtime win in Cincinnati. It's just, it's all happening. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff straight ahead. All right, Perloff, great weekend for sports. Great weekend betting-wise for yours truly. And because football season is here and in full swing, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while you watch football. So 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. You could be next because Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. The app is so simple to use. We download it. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. Prize Picks was invented for this time of year. College football, the NFL, yeah, and baseball all together.
Although, I think I'm going soccer tonight. I'm on fire, by the way. Thank you, George Pickens, for never catching the ball. Is there any soccer guys over there? Who is Wachick? W-O-X-I-C. 14.5 map one kills under tonight. You can bet soccer all day long, WNBA. This is the best. I decided to do a new sport every day this week because I've been having some success in baseball, believe it or not. You can download the Prize Picks app today and use code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So the rain came down hard in Pittsburgh. Honestly, I thought some of those shots were fake. It was like a waterfall. And it pushed the game really late. Again, three late nights because your stupid Miami team, EJ, just pushed playing in the middle of the night all night.
Yep.
Maggie, you nailed it. Saturday was totally chaotic. And yet that chaos has become unpredictable too. I don't feel like there's any safe game in college football either.
Yeah, good luck figuring out who's the best college football team in the country right now.
Well, Texas jumps to mind, but okay. I totally agree. they feel like the only one who hasn't screwed up yet.
It turns out playing Michigan might not be like that amazing of a win because they went and lost in Washington. So,
no, I mean, I guess Ohio State and Texas are the lone sort of superpowers. But again, anybody could go down at any time.
Can I let you in on some of my Google searches from over the weekend? I've been to Nashville 3 times in my life. Great for work and for personal, and loved it every time. Had to Google how far from the football stadium to the river down Broadway. Wasn't sure how far you're carrying a goalpost. Turns out it was just a shade under 2 miles.
Yeah, Maggie pulled out a Google Maps before the show.
I need a satellite.
We were like, how did this work exactly?
It wasn't the only goalpost that ended up in a river. How about Arkansas?
By the way,
over Tennessee. Yes.
You remember that kid who came in, Uma? You probably don't remember. But anyway, there's a guy who's friends with the family, who's a freshman at Vanderbilt.
Yes, and the trombone player.
Yes. He was live tweeting me. Now we're like best friends. He was live texting me the entire thing. He was right down there. He's the manager of the women's basketball team now, which is legit at Vandy. So that was the most unexpected thing ever. Like, this does not happen to Vanderbilt. Remember? And of course, Nick Saban was part of this by saying there's only one place that's easy to play in the SEC at Vanderbilt. It was like a storybook. But again, it's one of those things like, in 2024, like, none of the rules apply anymore. Because if NIL spread out the talent, nothing is predictable. Like, Alabama can beat Georgia in dramatic fashion and turn around and lose. Yeah, of course they can.
What's up with that?
Maybe we should have known this was like a little bit of a trap game. I don't know. They were 22.5-point favorite. But you're right. Not only did Nick Saban make the quip a couple weeks ago that every place in the SEC is tough to play except for Vanderbilt, they actually had that ready to go and were playing it on the Jumbotron as the very orderly students were storming the field.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. First
all-time
of all, it was
troll job.
It was definitely a trap game coming off that emotional win. I think Alabama was not ready to go. We're seeing the same thing in the NFL, where if teams coming off a blowout look good the next game, and teams who come off a blowout, I don't know what's happening. Something in the water.
We'll give our college football report card coming up later in the show. Kalen DeBoer. Tough game. We'll get to him. Kevin is our pal in San Antonio. Kevin, were you when Vanderbilt upset Alabama?
Oh, my God. I saw that game, but let's start off with the college football. I mean, I saw that game with Vanderbilt and Alabama. I mean, the whole city rocked the house. They partied to the break of dawn. they were partying to the break. I saw that. I was like, what? I was like, it is like the whole city just party. I'm happy that Vanderbilt won. They, you know, and on the other hand, the Cowboys are living on life support. They don't got no running back. They don't have no running game. All that money went to Dak Prescott. They could have took that money and helped the whole team.
Yeah, well, Prescott, CeeDee Lamb also made a lot of money. You know, soon they will give that money to Micah Parsons. Kevin, thank you for the phone call. As if you need more excuses to party in Nashville. But yes, that looked amazing. The Cowboys on life support. I mean, again, this is why you're lucky you have Dak Prescott. And that interception, though, to CeeDee Lamb, that one, that was tough. I don't know what was going on between the two of them. Not a lot.
Well, here's the issue. Can they run the ball? Can they stop the run? And I didn't necessarily. They actually look much better against the run in this one. That's their Achilles heel. So I'm not sure we have an answer to that. This is probably a lazy thing, but they're the same team as last year. Like, what's going to stop like a good team coming into the playoffs and just running all over them? I don't know if they added enough defensive personnel to really to make up for their Achilles heel.
Okay, but to be fair, I mean, Pittsburgh, definitely a running team.
Yeah, well, except that when you look at the numbers, like Najee Harris does not average a lot on running plays. They're a running quarterback team. Their run game, their running back game is kind of weak. I read that coming into the game. Like, they have not really run the ball well.
I'll tell you what, I don't know how the rest of the season is going to go and what's going to happen as we get into game 15 and 16 and blah, 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 and then the playoffs. But does every team in the NFL, all 31 of them, look stupid for not going after Derrick Henry? I mean, if you're the Cowboys, yes, you're killing yourself. I was thinking about that even with my Bills. I'm like, oh, you got James Cook, but man, would have been cool to have Derrick Henry.
I mean, if you took that long run at the end off of Henry, though, he was not super efficient yesterday.
But you have him, like, at any moment, you deploy him. Like, you're telling me last night you don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers would have wanted to have Derrick Henry?
I don't know. I'm not sure that Derrick Henry's a game changer for the Steelers, because if you were playing against Derrick Henry and the Steelers, you would know the ball is going to Derrick Henry every single time.
A lot of people do, and he's still effective.
He wasn't super effective yesterday until the very, very end.
I know, but that's because other things were working for the Ravens, like 520 yards of offense.
Yeah.
They didn't have any trouble moving the ball. They just had a couple, you know,
besides the
self-inflicted.
The Cowboys have Hunter Lupke, so like you don't really need anybody else. Who is that guy? Yeah. Why is he unstoppable? It's just, I've been meaning to talk about him all season long. Every game, he totally flashes.
You know, how about the other guy who looks like a load? We should start keeping track of these dudes who look like they're kitchen equipment. The tight end for the Packers who scored two touchdowns.
Kraft, right?
Tucker Kraft.
Yeah, Bogus. This guy is like a
team.
Square.
Yeah.
He's got, like, right angles on his body.
They're just developing different humans now. Like, there are players in both the NFL and college where I look at them and I'm like, you shouldn't be that proportional in that way. Yeah. But you are very athletic, and wow, you're running people over. I wish I could be that athletic.
It's like your athletic SpongeBob SquarePants. Like, how? I don't get it. But he was really effective yesterday, too. And the Packers go on the road and get a win against the Rams.
I mean, the shell of the Rams. What is that Rams team right now? That is not a... That stinks for Rams fans, because this could be a good team if they're all on the field.
Yeah, you're right. Injuries have gotten to them. 855-212-4227. I think the question also, should Cowboy fans, are you waking up happy today or are you not? Because what Kevin San Antonio just said, the Cowboys are on life support. Listen, you go on the road, you get a last-second win, literally. Last-second win, fourth and goal. Had to have it. And you get it. If you can't be happy today, you're never going to be happy. Bogus is here with headlines. Bogus.
Oh, hey, good morning, everybody. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. So we got Monday morning football in Pittsburgh, a 90-minute weather delay at the start. Then the Cowboys and Steelers took their time playing four quarters. Dak Prescott's game-winning four-yard touchdown pass with 20 seconds left came basically at 1 a.m. Eastern. He got to play hero after three giveaways.
You're pissed at yourself, like you said, for the turnovers, for the interceptions. But when I realized I have the ball down four with an opportunity to score with enough time, plenty of time, that's all I can ask for.
The Steelers manages 226 yards of offense against a Cowboy defense with multiple injured studs, like Micah Parsons not playing. The Packers turn that 13-7 hole into a 24-19 win at the Rams. The Broncos snapping an 8-game losing streak to the Raiders, 34-18. And the Jaguars have their first win of the season, 37-34 over the Colts. Cam Little hit a 49-yard field goal with 17 seconds left for those deciding points. After his team threw away a 14-point edge. Nonetheless, Trevor Lawrence is finally a winning QB again, so Doug Peterson was asked if this should let Lawrence relax a bit.
Well, I think there's a weight off everybody's shoulders.
Fair. Yeah, fair.
Right?
Yeah.
Not just him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a weight off of my shoulders, too. Now you guys can get off my tail for at least a week.
Yeah, I mean, this dude might be fired today if they lose after being up 34-20. Yeah, by the
way, what happens next week if you lose? Like, not so fast here, Doug.
Well, he's got a week. That's all he said.
You're not off the hot seat. You got like one cheek off the hot seat, maybe. Half a butt cheek, not even the full thing.
If NFL, they're one of those teams where if the NFL was only three quarters, if that's how long the game was, 45 minutes, the Jags would be unstoppable. they'd have only one loss. I mean, they are so shaky. I think we were all watching that game on Sunday being like, all right, this is where the Jags blow it. This is where the Jags blow it. The Colts kind of helped them out a little bit.
But the annoying thing for me is, even yesterday, there was a lighter 1 o'clock window. I like when you can just lop games off. Like, okay, I don't need to pay attention anymore to that one. And I thought that was one of those games. And then all of a sudden, it was like Alec Pierce just running free for touchdowns, and like it's a game again.
Trevor Lawrence looks kind of awesome too. I know we kind of do not say nice things about Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's talented. I thought yesterday. I mean, he's going against another talented quarterback.
I mean, well, Joe Flacco's got wheels. running for first downs.
That was a great shootout. Yeah, that was a weird window last night because the two premier games were in the 1 o'clock window. Why was Houston Buffalo at one, and also Cincinnati Baltimore at one?
By far
the biggest two games.
And
of the
neither
day.
One of them on NBC last night. I was confused too. It was a weird balance,
especially with the first week of byes. It's like you had four teams on bye this week, so you had a little. It seemed like you could have spread things out if you wanted.
Yeah, they kept the 4 o'clock window kind of weak. I wonder, baseball? I mean, is that why? I kind of doubt it.
How would the NFL ever even give a second thought to baseball? They crush baseball.
Well, yeah, I mean, and also they stuck poor Tom Brady out in a very hot day in San Francisco, right? Like
did he melt?
I don't know. Like, he's got a lot of makeup stuff going on. He didn't seem happy.
There's a lot
he's
of filler.
Plastic.
Yeah. I mean, that was the 1A Fox game, right? And it just really, I'm like, why didn't they put those other big games? And where was Romo?
Romo was on Rams.
Yeah.
Rams Packers.
All right, explain. We got to call our friend Ani Boza at the NFL office, the broadcasting guy. I actually wanted to text him yesterday. I'm like, dude, you're ruining my day. Like, I need to spread it out.
I'm sure he cares about your day as opposed to the many other responsibilities at the NFL.
No, Ani's, the NFL is very sensitive. Like, one person can call into their office, they will go into full flight panic.
I believe that.
No, totally. I'm not actually making that
up. Honestly, the right person sends a tweet, like, we have a 19-game season. I don't know.
I tweeted something at the NFL Network during Jets-Vikings game, and boy, did they address it hardcore. I said there was a roughing the punter that they did not show. And I tweeted, I'm like, how are they not going to show that roughing the punter that completely changed the game? And then they came back 10 minutes later with a very specific thing, because I know the people at NFL Network follow me on Twitter. I'm taking full credit for that.
Wow. I love that there's like some kind of headquarters brain trust.
I know.
All TVs up on the wall, just like a command center. And someone's like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Perloff's
angry.
McLovin
sent a tweet.
I guarantee
get on
you.
That replay.
You guys laugh. I guarantee I will call Charlie Uke today. I guarantee that's what happened. Guarantee. I'm positive.
It's a cool last name.
And I was very, very specific about what happened. And I you guys laugh. This one I'm taking full credit for.
Can the Jets look at my tweets? They would have changed their whole freaking game plan. They may have won the game.
Can you claim to have a direct line to Scott Hansen on Red Zone? No? All right.
What?
Just the command center.
I'm still wondering, who's Charlie Uke or Yuck?
Charlie Uke kind of runs the NFL Network production.
You got an issue with Charlie? We got an issue with Hansen too. What did he do?
I'm saying, I'm wondering if Perloff had a direct line to Hansen.
I don't know Hansen. I was I worked with Andrew Siciliano. It's kind of been hard for me to switch red zones, but Hansen does a great job. He does a great job, but I kind of miss Siciliano.
Hansen did not like the way the Bills handled the end of that game. No one did, but he was.
I was wondering if he's a secret Bills fan. I'm like, oh, that kind of anger is only reserved for people who grew up around there. He's got that thick accent too. Uh-huh. I thought it was a little more Cleveland, but maybe it's Buffalo. Where is that dude from?
There definitely was something in that. I don't know if it was personal. I don't know if it was monetary, but that seemed to irk him more than usual.
Someone had the Bills plus one. He's got that, I know, an upstate New York accent. I mean, from the word go.
He was raised in Michigan.
Okay, it's a little Michigan-y too.
Yeah.
Everything up there, long A's. A Maggie.
He also, but he did, I mean, like many, he did also go to Syracuse. So he could have picked it up there as well.
Yeah, that's usually where people lose their accents because it's all professional broadcasty types. But I think it's, he says fired and tired. Mm. That's very Ohio too, and upstate New York. So anyway.
Guys, if we redid our postseason home run derby, would this guy be the number one pick?
1-0. Higashioka's swing sends one in the air. Deep to left center field. Edmund is back at the wall. He will leap. It's going to go. Kyle Higashioka with another postseason home run. His third in four games. The Padres with their fifth of the night, and it's 8-1.
What are we doing here? Kyle Higashioka has three homers in four games. Jesse Agler called it.
Smalls.
Padres radio. Yes, Fernando Tatis Jr. also had two home runs last night. That's good for Manny. EJ, sorry. San Diego going deep six times total, tying the postseason record in a 10-2 romp at Dodger Stadium. That series is 1-1, as is Phillies Mets. Nobody's favorite team rallying from 3-0 in 4-3 holes. They gave up a tying two-run homer top nine, and then 1-7-6 on Nick Castellanos' RBI single bottom nine. The NL series are off today while the Guardians and Yankees go for 2-0 leads on the Tigers and Royals.
You guys are in trouble.
Who's you guys?
You,
the rest of us.
The three in that room.
Oh, I'm sucking at this.
It's early.
Tatis has three home runs already. And
but if they don't get out of that series, then I've been getting out of that series.
Going out of the series.
You think they're getting out of that series?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this weekend. Every single person we've talked about with the Dodgers, they all say the same thing. Like, their pitching is horrendous. And it's like, wow. It doesn't matter if you're like, you know, Jeff Francoeur or if you're Malik B. Everybody knows the issue with the Dodgers. And we're seeing it front and center.
Padres on the loose. Let's go, Goose.
My apologies for taking so long to get to this. Carl Anthony Towns scored 10 points in 15 minutes in his Knicks debut.
Oh,
a 111-109 preseason win in Charlotte. The WNBA semifinals kind enough to open for Carl Anthony Towns' debut. The Sun forcing a fifth and final game, 92-82 over the Lynx. They'll decide that series tomorrow night in Minnesota. With the Liberty waiting in the finals, they knocked off the Aces in their game four in Vegas, 76-62. And just to recap all the poll madness after Saturday's carnage in college football, Texas returns to number one, now followed by Ohio State and Oregon. Alabama goes from first to seventh for losing at Vandy. Guys, back to you.
It sets up the biggest college football weekend of the year to date, which is going to be this weekend coming up.
Wait, does Georgia jump ahead of Alabama? I was actually wondering. So they must be, obviously.
Yes, Georgia is five.
So how can Georgia be five and Alabama be seven?
Because Georgia didn't lose to Vanderbilt.
Facts.
Yeah.
They did lose to Alabama, but they did not lose to Vandy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious how the committee views all that. That would be interesting. But actually, those teams are getting in. Like, Alabama's, I know it's panic time in Alabama. They could have three losses and Alabama's getting in. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
So I get nervous, too.
A little bit. And it's funny, not that Alabama's not going to get in, but EJ and I were talking about this. Of all the years to go to 12 teams, this is the best one, right? Because these losses, you still are keeping hope alive for a great playoff.
Well, I think that a team like Alabama or Georgia is always going to be able to afford two losses. So if you, it's almost funny, like you almost avoid the conference title game, then you'll be fine because Alabama's not going to lose three times in the SEC, are they?
Well, but don't you want that bye?
And you don't want you don't want one of those losses to be Vanderbilt. That's what worries me because they're going to have way tougher games in the schedule.
And Vandy beat Virginia Tech. Like, this is a different Vandy year.
Yeah, but my thing is, though, just if you have one loss against Vandy and then like another loss against some other powerhouse, you say, okay, you can maybe throw away the Vandy loss. But if you're talking about if you lose another close game to LSU or someone like that.
Or
like,
if they get worked by a good team.
Right,
and you're
exactly.
Like, oh, okay, they got hammered by an elite team and they lost to Vandy.
Vandy went to overtime against Missouri. Like, this is not as embarrassing.
No. It's embarrassing. Usual. There is no sugarcoating this.
Oh, definitely.
The note was they won the last two games 100-0, and they lost 50 points on Saturday.
But it's clearly, like, this is not a normal loss to Vanderbilt.
There is no acceptable Alabama loss to Vanderbilt.
I agree with Bogish on this one. And also, it's because the defense looks like trash. That is not a normal Alabama sentiment.
They've put together six quarters of horrendous defense.
Yeah.
You go back to the Georgia game. And then four quarters of terrible, like, that's as much as their offense looks kind of exciting. That's the one thing about maybe the change from Nick Saban that's a little concerning. Maybe the defense has fallen off a cliff.
I feel like their issue is they're kind of sloppy. Like,
I agree with that too.
People are saying that's a trademark of Kalen DeBoer teams. They move so fast that they run into a lot of penalties. So, by the way, Vandy, don't count them out of the playoff either. They have two losses, but they'll if they can run this table here, if they can beat Texas, LSU, and Tennessee, they're in.
Wow. Sounds easy.
I'm telling you, Vandy, this
week. Diego Pavio would win the Heisman if they do all that.
And you can't. I totally disagree with you guys about that. We should put that out. It's like, it's a different Vanderbilt team. It's absolutely complete. And also, there's so much parity. I'll do a show bet that Alabama makes the Final 12.
Well,
if anybody wants to do that.
Not doing that. But yeah. Is the poll question, like, should Alabama be, what is it? Is there any shame in losing to Vandy? Something like that?
Well, that's, I mean, obviously there's shame in losing to Vandy, but this is not a season-ending loss. By the way, the thing about Vandy, they spread out and run that weird option stuff, and Diego Pavia is throwing the ball left, right. Like, that was a fluky offense. And there was a pick six. Like, I just don't, I'm not seeing panic at Alabama. They still have Ryan Williams and Jalen Milroe.
That defense will worry me. I'm sorry. That's the thing. Offensively, I think they'll be fine. That defense would, because you're going to play some real heavy hitters soon.
You are welcome to weigh in on Alabama at 855-212-4227. Are you concerned, specifically on the defensive side? How are you feeling about Kalen DeBoer after this one? Bogish, thanks so much. Coming up, the worst coaching decisions of the weekend, all wrapped up in one nice little bow. Next. No, Manny, no. That song is only for winners. It's pathetic is what it is. Got to pick up Josh Allen's frontal lobe somewhere in the Houston field. Guys, half his brain came out. They're like, nah, he's good. Like, I think he's unconscious. That happened a couple times yesterday, not just with the Bills. I feel like there were a few times, even Justin Fields last night, there were a few really big hits, and it's like, what happened to the head trauma part that we were trying to, you know, talk about and get out of the game?
Fields was actually fine. It was just the guy laid off a little bit. He could have murdered Fields right there. But Allen clearly had a concussion. Like, there are a lot of concussion activists who are wondering about that. Not wondering about
it. They should
be. Yeah, that was the NFL is definitely backslid on concussions. There's no doubt about it.
It just doesn't seem like anyone's taking it all that seriously. I know that he ended up going into a blue tent and Mitchell Trubisky takes one snap and hands it off, but I mean, come on.
Like, well, that's the other thing. Why did the Bills call those pass plays at the end when they had a concussed quarterback?
Who knows? Why did they call any plays to force your opponent to use all of their timeouts when you have 30 seconds left? How about that? Let's try to make it difficult on the other team. Not just hand them where a guy who can't miss a field goal from all over the solar system to give him an opportunity at home to kick the game winner. Maybe that's a possibility. How about when you get an opportunity with a big turnover at the 30, maybe score a touchdown there? I don't know. These are just things that are going through my head. We'll get to the Bills in a moment. Roy is in Alabama, though, not happy with how the Tide lost to Vanderbilt on Saturday afternoon. Roy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, and thank you for taking the call. I listen to you guys every morning on the way to work, so I appreciate your show. And Kalen DeBoer obviously doesn't have a problem with offense,
right?
But if you look at the last six quarters that defense played, there's some issues there. I know there's some youth, but it's going to be a true testament of just how good of a complete coach is he. I'm glad we got him. It's hard to follow somebody like Nick Saban. It's kind of like when Spurrier led Florida to all that dominance. Nobody wants to follow the GOAT.
Right.
Or nobody wants to follow a legend. But it's time for him to show, hey, can he coach up these younger guys? Because they played the last two quarters against Georgia and then the first the whole game against Vanderbilt. It's kind of like Saban said. You know, they ran through us like bleep through a tin horn, and if they don't fix it, Tennessee's going to have their way with us. There's a lot better offenses, I think, than Vanderbilt coming up on Alabama's schedule. But I have faith in the coach. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a good dude, and I just we'll see what happens from here. It's a turning point, though.
All right, Roy. So not off the Kalen DeBoer. No one's jumping off. You realize very grounded. Thoughtful approach to this thing, Roy. I wonder if your fellow Roll Tide fans are going to feel the same way. 60 points, Pearl, over the last six quarters that Alabama has given up. That is not the hallmark of what we think of when we think of Alabama.
Well, I mean, they did lose. They lost Caleb Downs. Like, we knew there was going to be some bumps with the transfer portal. Their offense is awesome, though. So I think they're going to have to win shootouts, and they have the players to do that. I mean, who knew this 17-year-old kid, Ryan Williams, was going to come and just change the game? I I love this. I mean, I feel like it's the Pac-12 and the SEC. I can't wait to see. I think they could outscore people. I think Milroe's outstanding. I think the offensive line's outstanding. The run game's good. And Ryan Williams is utterly spectacular. So you're right. The defense stinks. They lost some players. That happens.
Well, I don't think that's going to be acceptable to Alabama folk.
Well, and, I mean, listen, DeBoer got to the final game with a similar formula last year.
Yeah, you know? But not this type of schedule and not these kind of opponents.
Took Oregon twice last year.
But here's the thing. Those were shootouts that could have gone either way. Here's the thing, though, about I think Alabama fans, you understand if you lose to Georgia. You know, you have Georgia's number, but you would understand you lose to Georgia with a new head coach. You would get that. You lose to Vandy. They didn't have the stadium full. The stadium's under construction. You saw one side of the end zone. There were no fans there. It's empty. It's like, that's a bummer. And, you know, you're right, Perloff. They might just have to start winning shootouts. But then I get a little worried about Jalen Milroe not making mistakes. It's just like you're talking about with the NFL. You start going on these long, sustained drives, or you're trying to do these long drives, you're going to make more mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't see that blindside guy. That fumble was pretty much changed the game. But long drives, like they scored an average of 14 seconds a drive against Vanderbilt. Like they woke up way too late in that game. The second half, you saw they were cooking on offense. So, again.
But they couldn't stop. They couldn't, you know, on defense, it was just like Vandy, third down after third down after third down.
It was actually fourth down. How many
fourth downs?
Yeah, they, I mean, come on. They have a little option quarterback who's running around like crazy on fourth down. This is not, that happens sometimes. It was not like a normal breakdown of defense. I think that Pavia and those guys were just doing weird things. That's my theory.
Bill is in Houston. Loved what he saw from the Texans yesterday, and I get why. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. It's like a pall has been lifted off the Texans. Hiring of D'Amico Ryans, all the great draft picks. They haven't played their best football by a long shot, but they're 4-1. Josh Allen was off yesterday. He did get concussed, and that was terrible. But the only thing I really wanted to say is the Texans are going with a new logo now, at least for that game. But I'm still putting my logo in the middle of that field as Lovie Smith with that big gray beard, because that's why we have C.J. Stroud. That's why we have him. So I want that big gray beard on the helmets in the center of that field. And we got to pay our homage to Lovie Smith.
Bill, build him a statue, man. Just put the statue right up in front of the stadium, because he was – listen, I actually thought he was going to give the game away.
Yeah, he's another guy who's holding on to the ball a long time and making a lot of crazy plays that eventually you got to sort of not make those plays. Like, he puts the ball in harm's way a lot.
Well, the fumble, I mean, the Bills should have scored a touchdown there. And then at least you have to force the Texans to score a touchdown to try to beat you instead of just a field goal to try to beat you if the game plays out the same way. But instead, they hold the Bills to a field goal and then punt, field goal, and there you go. Hey, by the way, there was another moment of the game. It was actually in the second quarter where Josh Allen took a major hit. I don't know if the second half of the game was the only really big hit he took. He took another one out of bounds. We kind of see like his head sort of hit, and no one really talked about it. It's just because I went back and watched the game a second time. I was like, oh, maybe that's where it was.
I mean, he was unfortunately playing concussed. I mean, he's done in terms of like his quality of play. It just wasn't a Josh Allen.
All right, he was
missing throws.
Horrible before the concussion too. I mean, maybe there's
that's what I'm saying. I think that there was one that happened in the second quarter that no one was talking about, but he was terrible in the first quarter. So.
I think the lack of targets actually showed on Sunday. Like the fact that he does not have the receivers.
And I don't think Davante Adams could be the answer, but they better be on the phone today.
I mean, it's a lot better answer than what they got right now.
Yeah, which is zero. Curtis Samuel, take a seat. 855. See you guys on the phone. Do you want to talk about Bama? 855-212-4227.